Hi, I'm Martin Dunn, and our school matters because we help students achieve their dreams and goals.
Hi, I'm Mr. Ryden, and this is Our School Matters, a podcast where I talk to staff, students, faculty, administrators, and other stakeholders of the Richland County Community Unit 1 School District in Olney, Illinois. You'll notice if you're watching here, we do have, of course, now this podcast comes with some visual feeds, rather, on our Facebook and YouTube pages, if you want to find those and see my handsome face and fit for school picture day. Got my picture taken this morning for the yearbook. That we have a little bit of new equipment on here on the table. We've got these nice swing arms here, so hopefully you can still get it through there a little bit, but hopefully get a little less of that sound when people are less experienced, unlike professional podcasters like myself, are tapping on the tables and such. And that's even closer, so you can get my ragged intake of breath between every phrase that I put out there. This came through some grant money that we're super glad to have, and one of the many things that public education can offer to every student that comes, no matter what their background is or their parents' financial background or anything like that. And behind this camera, I see some of the so much equipment, new lighting, new microphones, several new cameras, and all the stuff that we were given in this grant that goes right into the hands of these high schoolers who are hungry to make content. If you've been watching VAC Club's YouTube and Facebook pages, as well as Instagram and TikTok a little bit, we've had some new stuff coming up, and we're hoping to really kick it up this year and get some more stuff coming out to you. So it's been a couple months since our last episode. This is the second to last episode of season two. I took a break with the school year starting, since that's what I'm actually contractually obligated to do and what I'm paid for. So I started focusing on that a little bit this year. It's been a fun year to start out, challenging in some ways, as always, but still very grateful to be here and to share the lives of these young people as they are just starting off on their true intellectual journeys before they go in and really see what they can make of themselves while they're here. Today's episode is an interview with Martin Dunn, who retired last year. I spoke with Martin in his second to last day as a teacher. Maybe you could say even his last day as a teacher, truly, since the next day there were no students there, and this was after he had his last class of students. It was really great to talk to Martin. I've always respected him and liked him quite a bit. He's got a really great sense of humor. He's a really good person. The kids love him. And he makes really great wine, so that helps too. We talked quite a bit about his last days, what his plans were for that upcoming summer, as well as the future. His many travel plans, which I just heard that he is north of the border in Canada somewhere or something like that, just in a casual conversation with one Clay Wheeler in the hallway. And also in this conversation, Mr. Dunn had a warning about Mr. Clay Wheeler and his growing threat to humanity as time goes by here in at RCHS. We also talked about being a teacher when your child is one of your students, and the stuff that the Travel Club did, and also which I've mentioned before on this podcast, I believe, but our mutual Walmart past, where he and I, in a different life, were both employees of one Sam Walton's Walmart. It was a really great discussion, and I hope you all enjoy hearing from it. He is was right that he wanted to just kind of come in here and just talk off the top of his head, and I think what you'll get is the best Martin Dunn that you can get, which is the raw and filtered Martin Dunn. So here, without any further ado, is Mr. Dunn. Martin, thank you so much for coming and talking to me today.
Glad to be here.
I'm looking at it as a privilege, actually, to be with you here on your second to last day, or your last day with students, retiring after how many years did you teach?
I've taught for 25.
25, yeah.
And then I had a career that shared a little bit of time with you before that.
Yeah, I'll even jump into that first then. When we met, would have been at Walmart. Yeah. When you were, were you in sporting goods?
I probably was in sporting goods at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you were there for the store move and everything, I believe. And then shortly after that, I mean, I don't know if
I think this isn't something uncomfortable, but I just remember, I still tell this story to people sometimes, that you were quitting smoking at the time and
yes.
have successfully since quit smoking.
Yes.
And I was a kid still, you know, and I just remember you coming into the smoker, which they can't believe a smoking break room anymore seems so
yep.
antiquated. Like,
yep.
But I remember being in there and you'd come in for, it was just only like one time to remember this happening, but you were trying to quit and you were obviously successfully quitting and you just went in, you're just like, okay, I'm good.
Just
and
then remembering
you
went out,
the good yeah, times. Just to kind of like bump you along until you could be used to it. But I kind of held that with me a little bit when I was quitting. I would occasionally, if I was around it, I was like, this can be enough, is that I can just get a scent. I don't need to have a cigarette just because I'm around people at a,
right.
you know, whatever event. So, but yeah, so that was quite a while ago. Dude, and you went from there, you were actually, we talked about this before too, and I just can't remember the details, but so were you, like getting your degree during
yes,
that,
I was,
that point?
I was, going up to Eastern mm-hmm. working towards my bachelor's
right.
And teaching certificate.
And you went to Noble first, correct?
Yes, I graduated high school from, or you mean working?
Yeah, did
or?
You teach there first?
No, I taught in Robinson.
Taught at Robinson.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I taught at Robinson my first year, and then I went to Noble from there.
Noble, okay.
West Richland, yeah.
Back to here in the, would it have been when they consolidated the districts, or
yes,
were you here before that?
2000, fall of 2014,
oh, really?
I came over
so,
with the consolidation, yeah.
That I think that's the year I started. No. I started 2010. That's right.
Okay.
So, but, oh no, that's right. Then I was away for 4 years and I came
yeah,
up.
I was going to say, you were here twice.
Yeah, I had that 1 year and I got riffed, but I was trying to remember if I would have come over, like I would have started back here the same year you did then, I suppose. Yeah, 2004, or this would be your 11th year back probably. So you would have been the year before. Because when they did the consolidation, that was somebody else retired and that's what left a position open, but
right
neither here nor there, it doesn't really matter too much. But so I mean, how are you feeling on this today? You just had your last class. Did you have a second block?
Yes, I did.
So 11:10, maybe 11:08 or something, you got yep. your last kids out of there.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little bittersweet.
Yeah,
glad that was done. Mm-hmm. And then still though a little unbelievable, but that's, you know,
yeah.
the last time I would have kids.
Yeah, are you reeling a little bit from it, actually? Because I don't know how I'm going to feel. If I even make
a
it
little
up.
Bit, a
yeah.
little bit. I mean, and I've had a countdown going on my
right.
phone and kidding around with the
yeah.
with the coworkers about how many days, how many hours
yeah.
and all that. But at the same point, it's you do something for that long and it's still feels a little empty. Like, really? I'm not going to come back in the fall and
yeah.
start this all over again? So it's a little different.
Will we see you subbing at all, I think?
I'm hoping to.
Yeah.
I'm planning to. I'm wanting to do some traveling and some fun stuff mm-hmm. and going to need some money to do that. So I'm
yeah,
hoping to come
true.
In and help out. Plus, I know the district, and I still, you know, care so much about the district and the people in the district that I know they're always needing subs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I know how to do. So
yeah,
you know.
We do need and good subs, too. So especially and knowing the community and some of the kids or at least their family does help, but... is there something that you think you'll miss the most about, or like, you know, the most is a bit much, but just what do you really think is going to be the stuff that you don't necessarily want to let go of? Obviously, you're
well,
ready to retire, but.
Yeah, a lot of the coworkers and just the fun we have, you know, at any job, your coworkers, you get to be kind of like your second family. So
yeah.
going to miss that and going to miss, you know. A lot of the interactions and fun things to do with the kids, you know, I've already been missing. The travel club was such a big part of my career.
Yes.
And haven't done that for over a year now. And
oh.
I've kind of missed that already.
Oh.
Yeah. This year I bowed out to do some other things. So.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
But
yeah, that's a big deal. And that's traveling with your good friends and coworkers and taking kids to new experiences,
yeah.
that would be, that'd be pretty awesome, I'm sure.
And the other thing is with the travel that we did, both with Science Club and Travel Club, I was able to take my kids when they were younger and my wife
right.
is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of they get to meet, you know, the students I tell stories about and they get to kind of see, my kids got to see other
yeah.
kids interact with me and
uh-huh.
help them kind of know what I did. Plus, I had them in class later on too, so
yeah.
a couple
That's...
of them.
What did you, it's kind of a little sidebar here, but what did you think about having your kids in class? I've had my son in one class.
It was a little nerve-wracking
yeah.
because, you know, you want to you know, be respected and all that. And
yeah.
And but you don't want to, you know, come down on their friends so hard that you embarrass your kid to death.
Yeah, right.
So sometimes it's kind of, you kind of walk a tightrope, you know,
because
yeah. you're both dad and your teacher, and you've got to kind of. It made me much more aware mm-hmm. of you know how I was interacting,
right?
Knowing that my kid was listening to me, you know, yeah. So it made me very aware that, especially dealing with your own, you know, at home I might speak in a tone or act in a way a little yeah. little yes. different than at school because you got an audience there too.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, it was awesome, but it was also a little weird.
Yeah,
having him, but I loved having him in class.
I had Liam a couple of years ago, and it was odd. You know, I'm so glad that he didn't try me. You know, he's just not that
yeah.
kind of kid. And my daughter, when she shows up, oh Eva. Eva, don't test me. So what do you think that you won't miss? What's the first thing that comes to mind when I ask you?
Well, we've had some challenging years of late.
Oh gosh, haven't we?
And yes. you know, with the remodel and the COVID, mm-hmm. and it seems like one of my most challenging. I think it's because I'm older and maybe a little grouchier.
Mm-hmm.
Was. Student behavior sometimes yeah. made the job a little more difficult. Apathy of students not wanting to do their work and trying to figure out a way to inspire them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And failing at that probably is the thing that bugs any teacher the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I've just been having this conversation a little bit. And I'm really, it's hard to know for sure, but I just try to remind myself, you know, we are at the end of a few long years. And at the end of any school year, my attitude about teaching is always, you know, maybe tomorrow or the next day it'll increase a bunch, but
right.
like those last weeks and months, I'm just, because the kids are kind of phoning it in sometimes, and
yeah.
I know I am too at some points, and but I've also had the conversation that ever since COVID, kids, it was a real challenge, and the kids that I'm seeing come up, I don't know if it's me, everybody says it, but I don't want to just be like the old person. It's like kids these days, they've been saying
right.
for millennia,
right.
but it does feel like something, there's a little bit of apathy to an extent, like almost an epidemic of apathy
yeah.
among a lot of kids. What are your thoughts about that? Because you've had this career for 25 years now. So what do you think?
I definitely think we have trended down mm-hmm. as far as, well, now let me, we still have some of the best students.
Yeah. It's not everybody.
It's just, it seems like there's a higher percentage of students that are struggling to see the value mm-hmm. in their education. And that's that bothers me, because I try to get them to say, hey, why this is important for you. And then there seems to be a greater percent of students that you just can't get to realize how important and how much this place can help them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I think that's hopefully will get turned around and head back
mm-hmm.
the other way.
Yeah, I just was reading an essay I do for my freshmen, a review it's a examining their year, basically. How did your year go? It's part of the final, but it's an MLA and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. And early on, they said something along the lines of that school is boring and pointless. And I was like, I found myself a little angry,
yeah.
which is, of course, just me being me. But it was, it's like, if you think this is pointless, like what do you think is you're going to do with your life if you don't apply a little bit of knowledge to yourself? Like, you know, you think you're really going to get on your phone and look up how to figure out factors or anything?
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a bit of a knife right under the ribs, right at my last day while students are about to leave. So as you're going out, what are some of the things that you think newer teachers are going to really be struggling with over the next couple decades as they sit out their careers? What are some of the things that maybe the newer things are just the same old kind of stuff?
Right. Of course, class, you know, behavior, that's always the challenge mm-hmm. for any, especially new teachers, just learning how to keep 25 or 30 kids from tearing the walls
alive.
Yeah, you alive. And then also with the technologies, and that's something that in my career we went from, you mm-hmm. know, a few cell phones to everybody has a cell phone, so dealing with that, you know, And now it's going to be, they're not only going to have cell phones, they're going to have AI. Technology is not slowing down. It's speeding up. I think that's going to be challenging in how they're going to use that and how they're going to deal with both the use of it for education and the use of it for cheating that would concern me. That's probably, it's the same for each generation. You have new technologies and you have, different things going on that cause and wreck havoc in the classroom.
Yeah. Do you think you would, if you were, we go back 25 years, do you think you'd make the same decision
absolutely.
As a younger man?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, even now, though, today.
Now, if you told me you got to do 25 more years, I would have to say, I don't know about it. But that's just me, my point. And, like I said, I'm getting old. I'm getting set in my ways. And somebody younger and with a lot more energy needs to step in and find a better way of doing it, for sure. But, I definitely would. I mean, I worked retail. I worked different sales. I've worked like 3 or 4 different jobs, not really careers, before I started teaching, and enjoyed them all in somewhat and others. But definitely the most rewarding thing is what I've been doing.
Yeah, I started when I was 30. I turned 30 my first month in the classroom, and I was really glad to have all those other life experiences. So you can relate to students a little bit more too, and their parents and their lives. Instead of always having been in a school. But also it gives you a more wider view of the, maybe not the world, but of the employment structure of private sector and all that kind of stuff. So if you were talking to a teacher a younger person that was thinking about getting into education, how would you encourage them, if you thought they were a fit, obviously, for it?
Right.
How would you encourage them at this point, looking at all, there's definitely a lot of drawbacks these days. There's the technology, there's teaching has become highly politicized, and guaranteed that's not going to just go away.
Right.
What would you say to a young teacher who is thinking like, well, is it worth it? Or a young, person that was wanting to get into teaching, perhaps? What's the appeal?
What's the appeal to actually doing?
What's the benefits of it?
Well, as challenging as it can be, those moments when you really see that you're making a difference, and I've had a couple of them even this week, those challenging students that do make the turn and start heading in a really good direction. That reward is like, you really feel like, hey, maybe I did have something to do with making a difference in this kid's life. Mm-hmm. And that'll make a difference in their kid's life, And hopefully, and I said that's, even though, like I said, all the challenges, and you hear a lot of, the teachers' pay and all that, and that's there's all merit to that.
Yeah, sure.
We need to value the education profession, mm-hmm. I think, more than we do in this country, for sure. But just the ability to say, hey, I made a difference in somebody's life, even though, some days it bears you down. It doesn't feel like you're making a difference at all, but you really do. And I think that's the most rewarding thing.
Yeah.
We need to hear more of that. I need to hear, think back in my career of all the times, because we tend to sometimes forget the good and remember the bad.
Yeah.
And then you got to remember, because there's a whole lot of good, more. I've had way more great students than I've had challenging students.
That's really nice.
Just sometimes it's not as easy to remember them.
Yeah, some of those, the challenging ones, even some of the challenging ones too, have been ones that are made a mark on me also. Hopefully in a way that was reciprocal, and that a good, I've definitely had ones that I still think about, and they definitely affected and changed me, because I thought, what can I learn from this to be better for someone else? Because we can't help that kid now, or that adult now. But some of the more challenging ones, though, are some of the ones that are the most rewarding, when they do find their thing, like they find a groove. Sometimes people just really need a groove to focus their efforts and to see that, there's a reason I should be good, and there's a reason I should put forth effort to other things, because I now want to keep doing this thing, and I don't want to get in trouble for that. That's
right.
From the most basic approach. What advice would you give to that young teacher when they're going into the classroom? What do you think is the kind of thing that young teachers need to hear these days? These are tough questions.
Yeah,
I know. It's very.
As far as
a generic in a way too.
Yeah, it's just hopefully be passionate. Don't forget. You know, just because you got all these goals and the state gives you all these things that the students need to learn, and this is on the test and that's on the test, don't forget, you know, the reason you went into your subject in mm-hmm. the first place, that what you were passionate about, and be sure to give that to the kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing. The curriculum that I've taught has changed.
Yes.
And not always for the better, though everything's important. But there's still some things that, you know, the reason I got into science mm-hmm. that I don't get to cover as much anymore that I wish I did because of time constraints and what we got to prepare them for. Mm-hmm. And I would tell a new teacher, hey, make sure it's fun for you too. Yeah. You know, don't forget your passion for the subject and pass that on to the student. Mm-hmm.
So and, what? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead. I said, and never let them see a smile till Christmas. But that's just an old joke.
I haven't heard that in a while. Never let them see. I love it.
Not till Christmas.
I love it. Not till Christmas.
That's not true.
Yeah, I tried that approach of like you can only get nicer, you can't get meaner, and it's just not. I tried a few times to be stoic, and it's like I can get stoic and mean. Trust me, especially if you're worried about something, you know, like is going down, but. I just can't. I'm just too goofy.
You got to be yourself, yeah. But you need to be consistent, you know, and that's the thing. The mistakes I usually make is I'll say, if you don't do this, then if you don't follow through, yeah. then you've lost the battle there. Yeah. You know, you got to be consistent.
I've definitely made that same error. What I was getting to, though, is what did get you into science in the first place? What made you decide to go into teaching? Because it was very intentional, obviously, because it was a career move later on in life. So something must have really, either it was a long-running dream or it just seemed right.
Well, I had a district manager at uh-huh. the retail outlet that I was working for that convinced me that I was in the wrong profession.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was, and
like,
after
like
many...
as a conversation or that was
as
the
in I
on you?
Didn't want to work for him yeah. or do that anymore. I was like, yeah. this is not... Mm-hmm. rewarding
a
anymore.
Similar experience at a similar place.
Might be the same district manager. he's still around, so we won't say his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, my wife and I had many, many late night conversations, mm-hmm. and I was not satisfied and happy with what I was doing. And
right.
she kind of convinced me, hey, you should maybe try it. But what really convinced me was
was she already teaching at that
she
point?
She was teaching, yeah.
Okay.
She started just right out of college. She's got 33 years in.
Wow.
She's retiring. But I ran into my...
Is she retiring this year?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to ask you about that later. I was going to ask if you got a year off or something.
Yep. No, I don't want her to be lonely, so I'm retiring.
Oh,
but she's got more time
than
I do. Yeah.
That's really cool.
My,
but I'm sorry
I
interrupted.
No, that's all right, because I want to definitely mention Mr. Brunell uh-huh. from Noble.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Brunell was my seventh grade science teacher, and then I had him again as a freshman. And ran into him after my wife and had out these conversations, and I was telling him, we were talking about, you know, I was actually at the store, and I was kind of, you know, whining a little bit about not being unhappy. Mm-hmm. He told me, he said, you should have went into education. I think you would have been a great teacher. And I don't know what that just kind of like the bell went off. I'm like,
uh-huh.
you know what? He's right. I'm gonna try that. And
great.
It was.
I'm really glad you did.
Yeah.
I get that too. The retail is good work. I worked a lot of restaurants too, which can be very good living for some people, but I was miserable, especially food service. And I had a very similar experience where, you know, I've been working at Denny's for like 7 years at this point, and maybe six actually. And it's just like, what am I doing? I just got my bachelor's, and I was going to try and go teach at the college level. But I just realized that wasn't for me at all because of the research aspect of it. It was like, this is not at all interesting to me. And I'm not trying to get published and do this kind of stuff regularly. I was just interested in teaching, and it took a little bit, and then I decided to go into actually teaching high school, and it was like getting out of that was, I mean, this job, it really wrings you out sometimes, but Oh, God. Working on a line is really fun in a kitchen, but every day just being covered in grease and all that, just so like every holiday they're fighting with you. Like, no, you've got, I was like, I've worked every Christmas for 5 years. I want to go see my family, you know? You know, it's that kind of stuff.
The nights, the weekends.
It changes your mind. Yeah. I did mornings forever, but I was not a good person back then. I would definitely have to admit, at least, I mean, the way I, talked, the way I was just always angry, and I was always thinking about going to work the next day. But so when you got into teaching, then how did it kind of feel? Do you have some memories of your early years of teaching, early weeks even, of like, did you feel like, oh, I don't know about this, or this is, oh, I'm so glad I'm doing this?
It was pretty surreal that all of a sudden you're in charge of a classroom and you're mm-hmm. the teacher, and I still think back to how, you know, it was so awkward at first, right? Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was at Robinson.
It's one of the weirdest tricks to learn.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I all of a sudden I'm the man.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Like, when did this happen? So, but it, I think it helped me because I was older when I did. Yeah. So, you know, and I was 32. Mm-hmm. So I had enough life experience, and I think I had been far enough from my high school days, mm-hmm. and the kids,
they take you seriously.
Yeah, to see. They walk in the room and see a 32-year-old. You know, they don't know this is your first year teaching. Yeah, so that kind of
the fact that you weren't teaching there for them makes it more mysterious, because they don't know if you came from somewhere else or you know what you did. Yeah, I definitely have talked to some younger women who start out of college, and there's definitely a difference of respect that they get.
Yep.
Young women have to deal with enough already, but when you put them, you know, 3 years older than some of the kids in your class, you know, or four years or whatever,
that's tough. Yeah.
That would be really tough. But
of course, one of them actually teaches here at the high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of my former students is, you know, Dakota Brown's here now.
So. Right. Same here. Yeah.
Mr. Brown. Yeah. Of course you would add him. And I just look at him every time. It's so weird. But I talked to Ms. Bora recently, and she definitely talked about the struggle of classroom management and getting respect from people, which is, I'm sure, who you were talking about, Brendan. So you're free, almost.
Oh, I'm good.
This I mean, is fun. Tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were free.
I'm just like, that's how almost. I end my interviews. I'm like, go. tomorrow you got till 3 o'clock, I think, is what we have for tomorrow. We got to do some. Are you going to skip out on the CPR, or are you going to brush yourself up on
it?
I guess
probably,
you do get to make jokes with everybody.
I probably won't, because I actually should be certified for doing my summer job. So I'm going to go ahead and do the CPR.
Are you still
Lake Patrol.
The Lake Patrol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to think of what the name of that would be, and I got Water Police came up when I was Googling
My dad
it.
Used to call me the Carp Cop.
God, that's good. I like that one. So you're still doing that this summer.
Yeah.
And you've still been doing that regularly. That's great. What do you like about that? I mean, you obviously been doing it for a long time.
Oh, it's I always tell people it's about 95% relaxing and 5% putting up with
drunk people.
Putting up with people who are doing the wrong thing and reminding them how they can best be safe.
Yes.
To put that nicely.
We had that horrible tragedy recently, too. So it's,
And I've done this for about 13 years, and then we've had two accidents in the last less than a year.
Yeah.
And so, that's definitely a downside.
Yeah.
But that's why we're
purpose, though. Exactly.
That's why we're out there.
That's why you're out there. To
hopefully keep things like that from happening.
Yeah. So you're going to continue on doing that. I mean,
planning
summer,
on it for a few years, planning on it for a few years. And, mm-hmm. and again, mainly so I can have a little traveling money and
mm-hmm. yeah, right. You know. Of course. As you're getting towards these last couple days here, what are your kind of immediate summer plans? And then, cause you still are on summer break. I'm sure it's going to feel like a summer break with a little weird tingle in the background.
It's probably not going to hit home till August when we're not coming in to do our rooms and get things ready. That's going to be weird.
I imagine.
You know, but it, like I said, it's a pretty normal summer, last day of school.
It's
going to
be like some of my seniors, and you're going to just come back in here and hang out for a little bit. Oh, we'll push over every day. And
that's
the last time I ever see
him. Yeah, yeah. No, we're planning on doing some traveling. I've got a friend in Utah. I keep telling him, I'm going to come see you. He lives up north of Salt Lake. So I'm doing that this summer.
Oh, good.
We've got a couple other a few overnight trips that we're hoping to take. We've got relatives in Florida that we'd like to go see. Mm-hmm. But the big plan right now is I've got all but four states covered since I've...
Is that right?
And so I'm trying to get those...
Alaska, Hawaii,
okay. And North Dakota, and Michigan. I don't know how I missed Michigan. But I'm hoping to go to Dearborn to the Henry Ford Museum.
Oh, cool, yeah.
This summer, and then Utah. Really cool. I don't know when I'm going to hit North Dakota. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do I need to go? Somebody tell me what I need to go see in North Dakota.
Yeah, right.
The movie scenes from Fargo is the
there you go.
Only thing
I can think of. That, now, see, that's more of my, like, I would do.
But we're doing Alaska in September.
Oh, really? So you got that one planned.
Melissa has.
And Hawaii you haven't been to yet?
No, and that's next year is the plan.
Blast.
And which is why I'm working.
When I see you subbing in here, I'm going to think of sunny beaches and...
Yeah.
Hawaiian shirts.
So stay tuned on the social media. Hopefully you'll see some nice, neat pictures.
So is that kind of the long-term thing then, is travel your kind of thing? Because you travel club, as you said, been part of, so you travel around the world. What are some places outside of the States that you'd like to visit in your retirement?
I hope to. I've been to Europe, but only to, I've been to Germany and Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to hit as much of Europe as I can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about someday trying to go to Australia. That's, and Africa. Those are the ones that are on my big hope to get to do in my lifetime list. Mm-hmm. Some places that I would love to see. And like I said, I would love to go anywhere. I just love seeing new places and experiencing new cultures and like that.
Yeah. You are still going to, I assume, continue the making wine and jarring
salsa.
Salsa, yeah.
Yes, I haven't been doing as much.
Oh, really? Because of,
yeah, but yeah, still plan on it.
When did that get started? Is that a family thing, or is that just something you and your wife started doing it for?
The wine thing I got from my dad. He used to make it, and he had the equipment, and he kind of quit doing it.
Yeah.
And asked me if I wanted it. I'll do that.
Sure.
And so can't just do something halfway. You got to go full
especially
tilt.
With that. Yeah.
So we planted cherry trees
and
went
really
crazy
did.
For a while, but
cherry
we've kind of slowed down.
Oh, that's
And then I won't say that. Never mind. I'll start to say, then my wife killed it. But if I say that, then she's going to hear this podcast and I'll be in trouble.
Well, we won't say that.
Because she says
then.
She didn't. She killed the cherry tree.
Oh, no.
Roundup.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. I did wine for a while. My wife and I did. And quite a while, actually. We did it, 5 years or so, I imagine. Still have a bunch of carboys and stuff like that. But we had so much trouble with it just becoming like almost like pure alcohol. It was so many times we had 5 gallons of basically wine that was so strong, one glass in, you're slurring your words.
Oh, like, wow.
I just was, I know now some of what I did, and I learned it eventually, but just killing the yeast at a certain point or not giving, and it just would get so, it's like, hey, we got turpentine in here, it's like, geez. Oh, so there is, I can tell you, there's an art to it. Sure.
I have a brother-in-law that likes it like that. He goes, oh, no, don't weaken
like
it. Don't weaken it.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm not saying we didn't drink it. It just wasn't, it's not the kind that you hand out to other people.
No.
Look at you like you're insane. It's like, is this from a still? So what else are you going to do to keep yourself busy? What do you do to turn off your brain, especially now that you're going to have, hopefully, a lot of extra time?
I love to hunt, do turkey hunting and deer hunting. We have our family has a deer camp that is near the river, and we go down there and hang out and not necessarily hunting, just to go down and camp and have feeds and, fun like that. And then just, we love doing the garden and pretty much that keeps us pretty busy between
that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. I like my house.
Yeah,
I like stuff around the house a lot.
I like
a lot
hanging
of my
out.
Hobbies have to do with
hanging out in the backyard, the neighbors, and all that. But it seems like there's always something to do. That to do list never ends. And
that's true.
Hopefully now we can sit back and enjoy all the tours we've been doing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, building that home up and everything and. Hope that's the dream, is that you get to enjoy it for a while in a serene peacefulness towards the end. So back when you went to school, what kind of kid were you in school? Do you see an analog of yourself?
No. You're talking today? Like high school?
In high school, yeah.
I guess. I always say that there are several teachers that are chuckling whenever I have kids that misbehave in class and like, yeah, well, there you go. You know, just like we tell our kids, I hope you have children that act like you someday. So, yeah, I was an average student, not above average grade.
Yeah.
And sometimes not average grade, a little below average grade. I was pretty well behaved. I had my moments, though. I have a few, and right now there's a band teacher out there, and she's going, "What do you mean well behaved? You were." So I had a few times that I probably caused more trouble than I should, and I've made apologies to some teachers that I've met that were still teaching when I started, and they were probably like, "They hired him," but all of them were nice and said, "Oh no, you weren't that bad." But I was pretty. I was actually, I was president of my. Junior senior class and
I could see that.
You know, we were a small group from Noble and so we're all still friends today.
And you went to Noble your whole were you born in Noble
too? No, I actually was born in Russell, Kansas.
Oh.
Home of Bob Dole.
Really?
And then my family traveled for like my first 4 or 5 years. My dad worked for AT&T and he was putting in the old cable route back then. And then I was in Casey, Illinois till I was about in fourth grade. And then we moved to Noble from there and then have been there since I was whatever age that is in fourth grade, 10, 11, something like that.
Do you think you back in high school, seeing you now as a retiring teacher, would that be shocking to you? Do you
absolutely
think? Yeah,
I remember they took this little aptitude test because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
and the guidance counselor gave me this, and this will kind of help you think about things. And I remember I was either going to be a lawyer or an actor.
Oh really?
Yeah, those are the two main professions that I was geared toward. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. So,
which they're kind of, if you think about it, have really a lot of qualities. But,
all teaching,
but
too.
Yeah, I had no clue. I would have, and even 2 or 3 or 4 years after high school, I would have never dreamed that I would have been becoming a teacher.
Yeah, I was definitely, I tell my kids in class sometimes, like I sat in this room when it was a computer lab, and I would have laughed in your face if you told me that I was going to live in Alney and teach and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Those three things, if those were true back in high school, I hated the world back then. But yeah, it's just, it's amazing how it goes. Were you did you perform well in science?
I did well in science.
Mentioned earlier you had an interest in science that got you into it.
Yes.
What did that draw from?
I just the natural world, really into animals. Okay, my favorite classes were zoology and anatomy. I was really, you know, I like going out and looking at bugs and fish and birds and whatever. So I think that was my initial draw. But actually, science wasn't my first inclination for what to go to school for. I was going to go in for history and political science. I was really,
really
big into the history and all that, and was trying. And I liked the science too, so I was trying to decide between the two. And then got to checking into it and found out that everybody wanted to teach history and coach. So the GPA level at Eastern was much higher for the history department, not much higher, 0.5%. And again, I probably wasn't the strongest student. When I got out of high school, I went into business classes at OCC, and I was terrible. I just, accounting was not going to be my thing. So my GPA was injured there from my own cause. And then, so I was like, well,
I winged myself along the way a few times.
You know, I, to get some financial aid, you had to keep a certain GPA. And I worried that I would be able to keep up with that higher GPA in the history. So I thought, well, I'll do the science. Glad I did. I
would say, I just think, I'm sorry, I mean to step on what you're saying.
No, this,
I think teaching history right now would be a really tricky. You get people's, everybody, that's where the political focus is right now. Yeah. And you would get endless comments from kids about whatever their parents say about or what they listen to or watch
on TV. I would love that, but I probably would get in trouble.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's a minefield of, like, parents calling in and being like, what are you teaching about this? You know, and just, like, the fact that this happened. It's, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Not that science doesn't have its own.
Oh yeah, yeah, we have our struggles as well.
Have you had people question the curriculum before? I have
a student that I'm friends with today that mm-hmm. is a member of the Flat Earth Society and has argued with me since he was in seventh grade.
No kidding.
I'm not going to mention his name because he'd get too big of a kick out of it.
You know how you're going yeah. there. Yeah, that one. It just boggles the mind there. You know, I'm left without anything to say to that one. I mean, there's athletes, professional athletes that believe that too. And and so, you know, what are you going to say? But yeah, I'm always concerned about, you know, you hear about other schools having this book banning focus and teaching certain things in science. And it's like, God, please don't let them descend on our board meetings with this insane madness, you know, because it just feels almost like, you know, I shouldn't even be mentioning it right now, but you know, keep the water still,
right?
Because it doesn't benefit us at all to have that argument. It doesn't ever help out a school to have a bunch of people come in with crazy conspiracy stuff and say,
well, and we always have to kind of walk that thin line to, hey, yeah. this is what the reason that the theory or the idea is, mm-hmm. you know. Not that I'm trying to change your culture or your beliefs,
right? Yeah.
But you need this information because this is what people in this
right
profession are. This, you know, that's what that's going to be talking about, and you have to have an understanding of it to be able to discuss it. So yeah, it can be a little bit challenging, but I honestly, recently I haven't had that much. I had more when I was a newer teacher. I had more parents talking about what we were teaching in our curriculum than I have recently. And maybe that's because, I don't know, that they just, it's been around, you know, for so long that they're used to it now. And it's not as controversial as far as what I'm teaching now, as far as the history. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more challenging.
I've had a few conversations and they get some interesting characters that want to interject some new ideas into the discussion, or not so new ideas, I should say.
I just make sure it buzzed, and I thought, well,
I get the same.
Did I turn that phone off? I'd hate for it to ring now.
So I should be good. do you have any interesting recollections that you'd like to put down here of your days? The craziest story I ever have is a kid jumped out my window and.
Oh wow.
Broke three bones. So I think that's the crazy. On my first year of teaching, Cart Mills said it was the craziest thing that's ever happened to him in his entire career, and that was his last year.
Oh, my. I haven't had any injuries that I can think
of.
That's good. I've had some interesting things go on in some of our trips and like that. Mm-hmm. We were up at Chicago, and one of the kids had been shopping on Michigan Avenue, spent like $300 on clothes. Left it sitting on a bench in Millennium Park while we were taking pictures. It's funny now. It wasn't funny to him.
Oh,
then.
At the time.
Oh, yeah.
No,
and it was
horrible.
It was gone.
Long gone.
I just remember he would come to me and he's, I hate this sound. I said, well, you know what? If you did that in Noble, it would probably disappear too. I mean, you did set $300 worth of brand new clothes on a park
just
bench
a park
and
bench.
Walk away
yeah.
you know, at night. So.
Oh, at night?
Yeah,
even.
I was gosh. I felt bad for him at the same point. That's an expensive life lesson right there, yeah. So nothing that other than, you know, the regular silliness that goes on with mm-hmm. teenagers, which is what makes the job more fun, I guess.
Yeah, I like they keep you young, as they say. I mean, there's a bunch of cliches we could go through, but it really is true. Like, I've noticed this thing lately where I keep realizing that I'm older. Like I keep mm-hmm. like having a like I'm almost thinking from the point of view of a teenager for a minute to where it even like I've lost track of it sometimes. And I'm just like, oh no, that's right, I'm old. You know, like so I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it's sort of like that. But it's nice to, you know, they keep you on your toes and you get really know what is going on with people in general by getting this understanding of, you know, the adult world, but also of what kids are going through,
right,
and stuff like that. But I mean, my favorite part though probably remains, at least in a good district, just hijinks with the staff. We've got our Pizzagate. We've got our other wonderful times that only happen when people are going crazy at work. You're really going to be missed here through the hallways. So I hope that you do come back and sub and check in with us. You got any anybody you want to just absolutely tear into before we go here? You're free to, this doesn't even come out until you're out of the door. You'll be on vacation when this comes out. Anything you just want to get off your chest?
Yeah, they need to lock Clay Wheeler in his room. They really should. He's caused so much trouble.
Oh, my God.
They should just lock him in his room.
Yeah.
I bet half the staff would agree with me. And as he's aging, he's getting worse.
Think you'd calm down.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It hasn't happened yet anyway.
Yeah, and there are probably others that need to be called out, but you know, he's the first one that comes to mind.
Throwing stones in my glass house, actually. So.
Oh, my.
Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to me today, Martin.
I had a great time. Thanks.
Good. And it's been great working with you. You are, we didn't really work together too much, but you've always been a super cool guy and a positive person and pretty funny too. And I appreciate that. And,
thank you.
To Richland County High School, you really do matter. So we're going to miss you for sure.
And I'm going to miss all you guys. And like I say, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be around, but I'll miss seeing everybody day to day anyway.
Just have too many drinks on the water and he'll be right by your side.
You bet.
Thank you once again to the carp cop of my heart, Martin Dunn. I hope you're enjoying yourself up in Canada, Martin. And it was really great to get to work with you. Even if we were in separate departments and across the building, you're always a great guy to run into and chat with. And hope to run into you still in the future a few more times. And I hope you do end up subbing here a time or two so I can run into you. But if not, hey, I get it. Upcoming, we have our final interview of the season, which is another one that has already been filmed a while ago. And from another former member of the RCCU1 family that has moved on to greater things. And so look forward to seeing that episode coming up soon. So thank you all for watching and listening and all those things. And keep an eye on our Vet Club Facebook and YouTube pages for more videos and interviews and stuff like that coming out this year from my film classes and from Vet Club. And do the like and subscribe stuff for us, maybe, please. It's not that it's going to make us famous or anything, but it's going to make us all feel really good for a little bit and help boost our egos and give us a little serotonin hit that social media is so good at giving us. So thank you all. Have a wonderful life day. I don't know where I'm going with this. I want you all to know that you do matter. To people out there, you do matter. I love you all. Thank you for watching and listening. Have a wonderful time, whatever time it is.
Carp cop!
Our School Matters, with your host, Jeffrey Ryden. Produced by the Richland County Vet Club. Executive produced by Jeffrey Ryden. Multicam video recording operator is Brendan McGlasson. Theme and incidental music composed and performed by The Pets. Research provided by Vet Club members. Our School Matters is hosted by the Voices of Richland County Podcast Network, an RCHS Vet Club affiliate. Please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and we may read your comments on our show. You can also contact us at vatclub@rccu1.net. Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast app, or you can see videos of all new episodes starting with Season 2 on the Richland County Vet Club Facebook and YouTube pages.